All right, all right, all right. Welcome to another thrilling season of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
Happy to be back. Welcome back. Welcome back to you. Thank you again for taking on this endeavor for another season and walking through our league together once again.
Well, when just out of the overflow is what I'm operating in, man. When it's this much fun, come on, what can we do? It is a brand new season. The year is 2018. Our league is starting and celebrating its 11th year together. Kamish, how do you feel just as a proprietor of the Pellwood League celebrating 11 years?
It's really an institution on the fantasy landscape now. At this point, it's well, heralded across the globe as the greatest fantasy football league in the world.
Our ratings have never been better. Yeah, it's
and the popularity of the podcast is on the rise.
Yeah. Do you think we've peaked? I don't think so. I think we've got miles to go, but some would say we've peaked. We have a few critics out there that
that comes with a rise.
That's true.
In popularity, you're gonna pick up critics along the way who are gonna try to knock you down a peg or two, but we're better than that. We're gonna just keep going up.
That's right. Well, it's a brand new day. It's a brand new season, and I got to tell you, I'm more thankful than ever for our community and what we have as a league, especially in light of having a lot of different conversations with a lot of different guys over the past couple of weeks. The platform that we are now on. For whatever reason, I think it's just because the appearance of the fact that we spend time on fantasy football just in some people's eyes makes us experts, regardless of our actual knowledge. I'll speak for myself, really, regardless of my actual knowledge or ability. Just the mere fact that I look like I know what I'm doing because of the tools and the resources and the podcast and the website, those things create some sort of a facade. I hope it looks to be... have, you know, something under the surface, some kind of depth. But for whatever reason, I've got friends that think I know what I'm talking about. And because of that, I get to have a lot of conversations about their leagues that they're in and what's going on there. And I have yet to encounter any league that has the camaraderie and the depth and the fun that ours does. I'm not saying that ours is the, you know, the peak and the utmost league. I am saying it is the greatest fantasy football league in the world.
Wait, I think you just contradicted yourself.
No.
It was a beautiful contradiction.
If you play it back, you'll. I'm getting nods right now. Our listeners are nodding in approval, yeah, well said. And it's because not because of our game or our draft, but because of the mutual investment that each manager has, not only into the quality of the game itself, but the quality of the community. And I think that unfortunately felt in the circumstances that we're in right now, and that is that we are all mourning the loss of Chris's dad this week.
Yeah, it's hard to even fathom or imagine what the week has been like for Chris and his family, and getting to offer any level of support in that is a blessing. I don't know how much we're able to do, really, but hopefully just to be a sounding board, to know that we've been there, to hear what's going on, to pray for him, hopefully has done some small measure. And really, without the fantasy lead and having Chris in it the last several years, we wouldn't have that opportunity. We wouldn't have the ability to be there for Chris in that way. So, you know, hopefully it has made a difference, and really that would make it all worth it.
Yeah. And I hope so too. And speaking from personal experience and loss, I can say that sometimes just the ministry of presence is all that you can offer someone, because you don't know what to say and you don't know the things that are the best way to take care of someone in the midst of grief and loss, other than just to be available and to be there. And I'm thankful that we have a fantasy league that goes beyond just the surface level of fantasy football and into true depth, true community, true friendship. And so as we start off this season, we are praying for Chris and thinking about his family and available to support them. We're also grateful that we have a circle of friends that we can lean into when the world doesn't make sense.
Absolutely.
with that, our community has taken more than one hit, but also has been replenished with some new fervor. We are also tipping our hat to Brent Powell this evening. Brent Powell, having resigned his tenured position in the Pellwood Fantasy Football League, we wish him the best and wish him well. Pete, have you left in good terms? Did this leave have anything to do with the power move or the drama of last season? And this happened to be a head rolling or a fallout? As a commissioner, can you speak to the behind the scenes off season moves of Brent Powell?
Brent made his choice. He decided he was ready to pull the plug, as it were, on the league, especially with the increase in the buy-in for this year. It's kind of there's been a progression in terms of the buy-in. It started off with none, and then we've slowly added to it. I guess you just say it with rapid growth over the last 10 years.
Sure.
100 divided by zero is undefined. So.
Yeah.
So it's gone up a lot, and I think it just got to the point where Brent no longer felt comfortable with the level of buy-in, which is totally respectable.
Sure.
For that to be where his values and beliefs lie. But unfortunately, it was something where it was where the rest of the league was. We had 11 guys who opted for it, chose for the increase in the buy-in, and so Brent made his choice, and yep. So we definitely wish him the best. I feel no ill will towards him whatsoever, and I am excited that we were able to fill his spot, though.
Yeah, he will be missed, and we do tip our hat to him, and I do look forward to having an official non-participating listener on our podcast feed, which will be nice. So just chalk that up to the ad data, and we'll just keep on kicking revenue, baby. So in lieu of Brent Powell, we have a brand new team member. He's not new to our community, but he is new to the league and hopefully not new to fantasy football. I don't believe that to be the case. Peter, would you like to introduce our brand new manager?
Yeah, so joining the league this year is the one and only Charles Danes, who is a close friend of mine. He was in my wedding, or a part of my wedding, as were several of the members of the league. So he knows at least half the guys in the league, and he knows football. And I don't know, I honestly don't know if he knows fantasy football. I don't know how much tongue-in-cheek I was getting from him when I asked him to join, and he made some comment about researching what fantasy football was. That had to be a joke, I think, I hope. But I know he's also attacking his preparation with a strong level of excitement, and he's very eager to learn and to get up to speed quickly. And he is certainly a fan of the competition, certainly a fan of sitting at the poker table and looking his opponent in the eyes as he tries to outwit and outlast them. So
sure.
I think Charles is going to be a great fit in the league, even if his fantasy football skills will be raw and untested. He certainly has the heart that we're looking for.
Yeah. And from what I know about Charles, and I don't know him as well as some, but my encounters with Charles have always been enjoyable. I remember him as an impressive man, very, very intelligent, very, very sharp. In fact, I see his new comments to our league not as a disadvantage to him, but honestly an advantage, because he is one as a quick learner and a fully fledged investor in what he's doing. I can't imagine him not coming in with some scary momentum. And out of all the friends we know, he probably has the greatest potential to be the president of the United States.
That is absolutely true. And of all the friends we know, he may be one of the few who played college football. And so, the last time we added someone to lead, they went ahead and won the lead the first year. So,
yeah, that's right.
That's a high bar for Charles to reach, but there's to be the start of a trend. Join the lead and win it.
So he's coming out strong with the White House, which, in my opinion, I think he's actually, not only declaring his potential in life, given his intelligence and pursuits and passions and honestly his drive, I think he's also claiming a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek, I got this. I own this house.
Yeah, I think he's certainly bringing a level of authority to his stature in the league right off the bat. Just he means business, and he is here to take care of business. It's like a TV drama type of move, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can feel it. I can feel the oncoming pressure and the intimidation. And I got to tell you, Charles, I hope you're listening right now, because this whole like, oh no, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't buy it, buddy. I'm not buying it. I am cautiously aware of you, sir, and a little afraid. But we welcome Charles to the league. Looking forward to a good season interaction with him. We've got a lot coming up ahead, specifically days from now, T-minus 4 days, we are kicking off the 2018-2019 NFL season with the Pellwood Fantasy Football League live auction draft. Peter, how do you feel days before the launch?
It's coming up fast, and I never feel ready. Even when I feel ready, after 3 or 4 picks in the draft, I immediately feel I wasn't ready, and I want to do it all over again. Like, I wish we could draft 4 times.
Yeah,
there's a lot of preparation that goes into it, and even if I don't feel fully prepared, I've been thinking about it for at least a month leading up to it. And so when it's over, I feel, you know, a little bit like a sense of loss of, that part of my life of thinking about the draft and preparing for the draft is gone now. So what next? So that's why I think I want to draft again almost immediately right after, because I want to continue to use what I've invested into it, and it's just so much fun. The draft is so much fun, and I'm looking forward to you being up here this year for it, as we missed you last year, and hopefully we'll have a good group of 6 or 7 guys all together here in Dallas to do the draft together, and I think that'll be just a blast.
Yeah, totally agree, and I can't wait to be up there and to see everybody. Looking forward to not just the draft itself, but making a weekend out of it. It's going to be really exciting. As we approach the draft, one of our typical bullet point conversations is how much we love the auction draft over the snake draft. I think we've beaten that horse quite a bit. But I will say this, in preparation for the auction draft, I have felt this year even more so than most that the gap between those who auction, or at least the research available to those who auction, versus the general population of snake drafters out there, there just seems to be a greater discrepancy in the sheer amount of information this year. I felt it more. I'm feeling like drafting auction style is more and more of a niche thing every year. I guess that's maybe just my expectation. Like, I expect, because I love auction so much, I expect it to kind of catch on and gain some momentum and become more of a household conversation for fantasy football. It doesn't seem to be going that direction based on what I've seen. What do you think?
I'm totally with you. We started doing auction, I don't even know how long ago now. It's probably 7 years, 8 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's been a long time. And I don't remember why we started doing it and what influenced us to start doing it. But once we started, it was like a revelation of, oh, this is how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what fantasy football should be always for everyone, everywhere. And it's shocking that it still feels like maybe 5% mm-hmm. of fantasy football drafters use an auction draft. The amount, you're right, if you listen to anything or read anything, the tone of the analysis is always directed towards snake draft. Mm-hmm. It's never never talking about, you should look to pay this range of dollars for a player. It's you should look to draft him in this round,
right.
Which it, I guess, and maybe the reason for that is an auction draft. There isn't really a standard for an auction draft. You could have any budget. You could have any kind of rules set on it. If you have keepers like we do, it totally changes the market. And it's just, you have to be so much sharper to be an auction drafter that the analysis can't reach that person. The auction drafter falls outside of the bell curve. That's of right. where the analysis can reach. You're at the bottom one or the top 1% there, yep, as an auction drafter. And so they're trying to reach the larger audience, and so that's what they do. That's where the analysis is pointed. You hear even more talk about best ball drafts than you do about auction drafts. And I'm totally with you. I can't believe it hasn't caught on more. I'm the biggest fan of it, and I think we'll continue to be in our own little niche here. And I like that. We have to think for ourselves and make our own plan and execute it, and have the right player evaluations and all that sort of stuff, pretty much on our own, because you're not going to really get it from anywhere else.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think it all has to do with the market demand, and that's why nobody's out there producing mainstream content or research or analysis for the 1% or 5% or whatever it is that pursue the draft the way that we do. Now, I will say, man, our audience, our incredibly small audience, is so lucky to have us based on that information alone. Man, aren't you glad that we have such a small, I'm thankful we have such a small audience that we can be the voice for the auction drafter. Well, all that to say, I think that maybe one of the things that has made me feel that way, or made me feel the gap that way more, is the interesting dynamic that's happened in 2018 in the NFL itself. And that is, as far as my research has demonstrated, it appears to me that the value of the running back has seen a resurgence, and that the top five, top eight running backs, their value has just absolutely skyrocketed. And it may be because there's more of a pass catching line inside the top six or eight. I don't know. It seems like the running back value has just skyrocketed. And because of that, what I've seen in the snake draft is that I've seen multiple resources saying, here is the absolute ideal, flawless draft for the year. And you start looking around at all these draft results, and they all look identical. You write the ranks, and a perfect draft looks like this. And that just bothers the crud out of me. That I think that's why I'm not inherently anti-snake, but I am pro-auction for that reason, because the variety and the strategy and the options just take on a whole new level of ownership as opposed to the formula.
Yeah, I'm not anti-snake either. I am pro-fun. So whatever is fun and the most fun possible for your lead, that's what you should do. I'm in a league where if it was an auction draft, it probably would not be fun for everybody, because I'm an auction drafter, and it would be fun for me, but it would be over and done with pretty quick. And
that's all she wrote, folks.
I would come out feeling pretty good about it, but that wouldn't be fun for everybody, because it's much more casual and much more laid back. But if you have the investment from your league, and people want more involvement, they want more decisions, they want more opportunity to control their fate, then auction draft is definitely the way to go, because you can have access to any player that you want. If you really want to die, it doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about drafting first, eighth, or 12th. In the order, you get whoever you want. If you're willing to pay what it costs to acquire them, it's an open market. It's a free market. It is so American and so perfect.
It's got to be a new record. That's all we'll say about the auction draft as we get ready for it. But one of the things that defines the auction draft is, of course, prep. And we have a tendency to be pretty secretive about our prep. But in general, Pete, can you comment on what your preparation has looked like this season?
Yeah, so we're 4 days out, and I have not even yet determined what my strategy is going to be in terms of how to approach the draft. We just got our keepers locked in today, and that kind of sets the tone for the strategy, at least the beginnings of it. So my prep so far has been really player research as much as I can, to get to know the players, get to know situations the players are in, and try to figure out where to place bets, where I may like a certain player more than the market. and, you know, try to find those inefficiencies in the market in terms of going after a particular player if I think they're undervalued. So that's where my focus has been. I'm kind of the auction drafter is always just looking for value with every pick. I want to feel like I have paid less than that player is worth with every pick. And so for me, it's starting to define where I can do that and where those players might be. So I know this has been a big year of prep for you, and you've been working very, very hard. Do you feel like you are ready? Do you feel like one, maybe you should talk a little bit about what you've been working on with your tool that is now publicly available to any other auction drafter out there. Mm-hmm. But then also, do you feel like you are, it has made you more well-prepared working on that, or are you in more of a product release type of mode where it's
a distraction?
It's a distraction for your personal team's draft.
I can say I'm very tempted for it to be a distraction for sure. Just launched my tool, which I call Poker Face. I launched it publicly last weekend, and the reception, although my platform isn't very broad, so reach isn't, you know, anything to write home about, there has been some receptivity that has, as far as I can tell, been international in its scope, in that we've got some friends up in the Great White North who are evidently invested in fantasy football and have been emailing back and forth with me as we've been talking about the tool and some tweaks and some bug squishing and things like that. So that's been a lot of fun. I've gotten to meet some new people through that process, and I've reached several thousand people in the, according to my Google Analytics and download rates and things like that, which has been really fun. But it's also, like I said, very tempting for it to be a distraction, because I have a tendency to jump over into customer service mode, because I want that to be a successful tool. I want people to enjoy it. I want it to meet their needs. And I get a lot of emails, or I've gotten a lot of emails this week asking for customability, because the real deal is I built Poker Face for the Pellwood League, according to the Pellwood rules, according to the Pellwood setup and the roster depth and the positions and the values and all these things. And there are so many different varieties of fantasy football. The factors out there are just so great. Even within the scope of the auction draft, which is more of a niche thing, you can still have, are you a double or triple keeper league? Do your keepers have $0 value? Can you trade your budget dollars ahead of the season, which I learned one league that I've been talking with has been doing this week. So all that to say, this is not a one size fits all tool, but it's very tempting for me to keep working on it, because I want to stand behind my product. However, I'm kind of in the final window here as we reach the countdown to our draft, and I'm having to put that on pause and just say, all right, I'm going to just switch gears here and focus strictly on using this tool to my benefit, because that's why I built it to begin with. Built it actually last summer and used it for the first time in our 2017 draft in its, call it a beta stage, I guess. And I was just testing out some of the features and theories of it, and I really, really enjoyed it, and took a lot of notes right after our draft about things that I would tweak for this year and things that I think that would be more helpful. And got it to a point over the summer that, after a lot of fun and long nights, to a point where not only did I think it was going to be really effective for me, but I thought, I bet there's a lot of people out there who could benefit from this, at least help me make it better. So got to launch Poker Face and got excited about the potential for that. Also learned the very dramatic and hard way that it is incredibly niche, because everybody's been begging me for a snake draft version of it. And I'm like, are you serious? Are you serious? Come on, guys. I guess maybe that's another reason why I'm feeling the way I am, is because I attached some expectation that maybe my tool, maybe Poker Face, would help further the cause of the draft auction. But alas, that's all right. So At this point, I'm only doing little minor fixes, little minor tweaks here and there, and keeping that afloat. And most of that is through the filter of, will this benefit me for the weekend as well? Otherwise, I'll just put it on pause for now or add it to the to-do list. But I'm enjoying it. I especially love the player research feature and having that all at my fingertips, so that my personal notes and my personal targets and my personal values and my personal players to avoid are all right there. I don't have to bend over backwards, or I don't need the two or three computer monitors anymore to keep track of everything. My budget is right there. The moves are right there. My competitive edge, or what I believe a competitive edge is right there within the value comparisons and the rankings inside other manager boxes. So I feel really good about it. I'm really excited to give it more of an operational test this year. Really looking forward to that.
That'll be fun to see. I'm very interested to see how you feel about your draft afterwards and how you feel about the tool. And I don't yet understand everything that what you have done, what it does. But I love the idea behind it.
Well, thank you. I'm excited. And like I said, it's pretty far from perfect. And a lot of it is still kind of based on some theory. So it'll be just further testing the theory, making adjustments. So I consider this another building year, but it is more developed than it ever has been. So I look forward to trying it out.
Fun stuff.
So with that, one of the things that I was quick to jump into with it once we got our keeper list today was to hop in and see where the inflation rate was going to be inside our league this weekend, as well as the overall valuation of teams so far and what kind of value is still in or zapped out of our draft. Pete, you want to give us a rundown of these keeper choices, some of which were admittedly pretty surprising?
Sure. So we can walk through them. So I think first of all, maybe we'll talk some of the top players. I guess you and I both have one of the kind of consensus top 10, at least draft picks, as it were. I've got Le'Veon Bell as a keeper for $48, which is second year in a row I've kept him at that level.
Yeah.
It's I drafted him for 48 3 years ago. I guess he was suspended or something for the first four games, and that kind of lowered his value, where normally he's a $60 to $70 player. I got him for 48 and I've kept him the last 2 years, so this is the last year I can keep him, and it was just hard to walk away from that, because it's really fun to have Le'Veon Bell on your team. So I've got him for 48. Then you've got Alvin Kamara for $1, which I'm insanely jealous about. And I remember last year you drafted Kamara. I'd never heard of him. Mm-hmm. And then he went and won Rookie of the Year or whatever, and was just absolutely electric. So I guess my question to you is, one, how excited are you about keeping Kamara for $1? And two, who is this year's Alvin Kamara that I should be looking to draft?
Well, that's funny. I actually have a player targeted in Poker Face, and the note that I added to him literally says, this year's Alvin Kamara.
Oh, man.
So
that in the publicly available version?
It is not in the publicly available version. No, it is in a different version that I've got behind a few.
I will save $2 in a roster spot until your draft is done.
Son of a gun. Well, yeah, I've got my eye on who I believe that
All
is.
Right.
But
well, that was quite the hit that you had last year, and you just keep him this year, and if all goes well, you keep him again next year, and
that's right.
That's probably the best keeper in the league. So
yeah.
To you.
I feel really good about that.
And you're just on the rise.
I appreciate that. I feel good about it. I feel good about the fact that it was a legitimate target and not a fluke. It could have gone either way. And, I can't take credit for his performance last year in the NFL as an athlete, obviously. But I can be proud that was a pick that worked out for me. And so I'm a little nervous because I feel like there's potential for him to be this year's David Johnson too, just because you never know what's going to happen in the first 6 minutes of a game of game one. And when you have the best keeper argument in the history of keepers, like Scott did last year, I hope I'm not on pins and needles in the first week of the NFL.
That's true. Scott, going into last year's draft, had David Johnson for $0. It was the last year he could keep him at that level. David Johnson was the consensus number one pick. And then he got hurt and missed the rest of the year. Scott went on auto bid because his computer couldn't log into the draft lobby. And what went from Scott having the absolute strongest position you could possibly have going into a draft ended up being a total train wreck of a season for him. So yes, a good keeper does not your season make,
That's
but
right.
You're certainly starting off in the pole position.
Sure.
Close behind you is a Brock, who is keeping Michael Thomas for $4, which is also a really good value. Brock kept Thomas for $4 last year too, so this will be last year he can keep him. So he'll be ticked back into the player pool next year. I feel like we're, you with Kamara and then Charles was fortunate enough to pick up Kareem Hunt for $2 this year. I feel like we're starting to kind of cycle out the insane value keepers.
Yeah.
I guess there'll always be one or two each year, you know, like you and Charles have, but, you know, with Le'Veon and Michael Thomas, that, you know, just the studs that you're able to keep, for value. I feel like we're cycling those out as we tend to get more experienced and, sharper as a league. I think we'll see that less and less, but, yeah, so Michael Thomas for $4 for Brock is excellent. Kareem Hunt for $2 for Charles is a great way for him to enter the lead with a strong keeper.
That's
so,
right.
Hat tip to Brent for, that going away present for Charles
and not
leaving him up a creek without a paddle.
Yeah. Yeah. And well said on the climate of keepers. We've gotten sharper and price enforcing and just valuations overall are stronger. So really it's coming down to the keeper being the sleeper that you have to. Yeah. Yeah.
That's catchy.
Thank you. You have to really, and that means it's a roll of dice a little bit. So.
Yeah, you kind of need someone to get hurt sometimes, and then your keeper to Wally Pippen, and away you go.
Yep. So I do like the competition that comes with those top three keepers between us, and that we're all going to be using that extra value in our budget, those extra dollars that we have to spend in creative ways, and I'm sure that some of those ways may overlap a little bit, at least. Some of those ways may overlap a little bit, at least via intent. And so it'll be curious to see what kind of bidding fights that the three of us get into this weekend.
Indeed. I'd say next on the list, Ben's keeping Davante Adams for $25. Not as much value there, but still a really strong player. Similar for Andy and Chris Windsor. Andy's keeping Dalvin Cook for $29. Again, not a ton of value. Strong player, though. Chris is keeping Christian McCaffrey for $29. Same story there. My next highest marquee player would be Jared, who's keeping Adam Thielen for $4. And Thielen was, I think, a surprise last year in terms of how strong of a season he had. So he's got a new quarterback in town this year. It'll be interesting to see if he can repeat it or if that was a peak for him and he'll come down a little bit. But certainly keeping him, Adam Thielen, for $4 is a very strong value for Jared there.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, a couple of moves are more defensive in nature, just keeping the value a little bit under what they're probably going for, but really just locking in the player. I'm looking at Andy with his Dalvin Cook pick. Not a high value at all, maybe $2 or $3, but locking in a solid player like that with that move, I think that's a good decision. One pick that I really like, honestly, is Derek's. I think that locking in your deep wide for $4, and you know, you save some money. You could argue that the value there is $10 to $12, but it is especially challenging when you're further down the line in the draft to get those wide receiver three spots filled for so cheap. And I think that just locking in a top 20 wide receiver for $4 is a great move on Derek's part. It's one of my favorite picks in the lineup.
Yeah, that's Juju Smith-Schuster that Derek is adding there. Just really exciting player as a rookie, and I think he'll continue to build in his second year in that, you know, fast-flying Pittsburgh offense.
Mm-hmm.
I really like, I think Scott's selection is Chris Hogan for $1. You know, Hogan was one of those players that I felt like I was going to be higher on than the market. And so I'm sad that Scott is snatching him up for $1 because he's sort of the de facto number one wide receiver left in New England, mm-hmm. which is a, you know, pretty juicy spot to be in. So, I like Scott's select. I have a love-hate relationship with that pick by Scott to keep Hogan for $1. I really wish he had been in the player pool. I would have liked to bid on him.
I agree.
I'm pretty sure he would have been bid up way higher than you would have guessed.
Sure.
You know, I think Fantasy Pros listen for like a $14 player. I would not have been surprised for him to go for like $30.
Yeah.
Because he's a popular popular under the radar type of
thing. I know, and the fact that you're saying that scares me as I get ready to go head to head with you this weekend, Pete. I had valued Chris, and I was kind of waiting. I punched in all of my values for some targets last night, and Chris Hogan was one of them at $28, and
yep, right
one
there.
Of a great picks that I was hoping to make a run for, and seeing that name on the keeper list for a dollar, no less, thought, ouch, that sucks.
Yep. So.
But not for Scott. That doesn't suck for Scott. Good job, Scott.
Very, very solid pick to start your draft for a dollar. Yeah. Last two picks were probably the most questionable keeper selections because they're quarterbacks. Chewy is keeping Matthew Stafford for $2, which I see no value there. Really, honestly, maybe negative value. You could probably get Matthew Stafford for a dollar at the end of the draft. And then Michael is keeping Carson Wentz for a dollar. Wentz is a really good looking real life quarterback, but I don't think there's any need to keep him for a dollar. I think there are probably better options, especially for Michael. Chewy's other options were really expensive. It was like Todd Gurley $50, and DeAndre Hopkins for 40, in the high $40 range. So it's tough for Chewy to bite the bullet and do as I have done with, committing a quarter of your draft budget to your keeper. But I think that's probably the route I would have gone if I were Chewy. And then Michael, I think, certainly had other choices besides taking Carson Wentz for a dollar. But that, like I said, a good keeper does not a good teammate, and a bad keeper does not doom you either. So
that's right. Yeah, I can commiserate with Chewy a little bit. I imagine he looked at his strategy and his draft plan for the weekend and said, do I need money or do I need the stud here? And I think he went for cash option. And I don't blame him for that.
Yeah. I think it's definitely a strategy move in terms of wanting to have the most money to play with on draft day.
Yeah. And I think he's going to need it. And maybe that's what he's looking at. When you have a quarter of the I'm going with half of our league going in with anywhere from, call it 10 upwards of $45 to $50 worth of extra value in their purse going into the weekend. I don't blame him for that at all, wanting to jump in with extra dollars.
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly a lot of value in those keeper selections, and it's really a fun wrinkle to the lead is to have that keeper. And there are many other wrinkles we could do with an auction draft. I think this is sufficient for now.
Yeah, I think
if we were to increase the wrinkles from here, it gets into one of those really crazy leads that are like a full-time job. And for some of us, this one kind of is, but that's by choice. And if you start talking about trading draft budget dollars for players and keeping more than one, then you're probably talking about roster sizes that are larger than 16. You're talking about 25, 30 man rosters, and it's like you're really running a farm system of your fantasy football team, which then by obligation is a full-time job for the players. And I am pro fun, and I don't think that would be a lot of fun for everyone. You'd have to find an even smaller niche group of players to do that. So I think we're in a really well-balanced position right now as a league, and I think we've got a good group of owners who are committed and attentive, we're also there for each other as well. So I think we're really in a great spot. We continue to progress and grow as a lead and as a group of brothers in fellowship. So,
yep, agreed.
I'm entirely a proud and happy commissioner.
Yep, well done, sir. I think that your philosophy of fun is spot on. No need to fix what's not broken, and no need to overcomplicate something that, in the essence of it, has kind of found its groove. So, just looking forward to another season, growing together, connecting together, good excuse to hang out, talk, and share an experience or two over GroupMe. Excited for the chatter. Just really looking forward to kicking that off this weekend with our live Dallas draft, a little bit of golf, and some bro time together. What do you think going into this live draft? We've got a little bit different of a setting even that we're drafting in. Mm-hmm. Instead of a conference room like feel, it's more of a public space, a little bit more casual. There are more distractions potentially, maybe a less dedicated Wi-Fi. So what are your predictions going into the draft, and what do you think we'll be talking about next week post-draft?
So the location is, like a massive restaurant slash bar sort of setting. Tested it out in terms of technology. I feel comfortable with it. I think everyone will have what they need in terms of technology. So I think that's good. I think it will be a test of focus because there will be multiple screens around. There will be, commotion and noises and food and drink. And certainly, I think the strong will survive in terms of those who step into that arena. And so that will be interesting to see. I really fingers crossed. I don't want any technological issues to mess anyone up. It'd kind of be like a thing where I just want to like stop and scrap the draft if that would be an issue. So I would not have chosen it if I, hadn't tested it. It wouldn't be fair to invite someone to a location and then have it mess up their season. So really fingers crossed there. Hope all goes well. Hope it's we're able to kind of find our spot in the place and kind of be off to ourselves. But really just hope it's a good time, a good day all the way around.
Yep, I know it will be, and I'm really looking forward to it, Pete. I think I share this often, but you do a great job facilitating the context and the community that we have around fantasy football. So thanks for being a good commish. Not one without his checkered history, but a strong commish nonetheless. We appreciate
We should
it.
have a discussion on the podcast sometime about this so-called checkered history, because Brock will often bring it up to me as well, and with concerns about the amount of power I hold as lead commissioner. And I think my record is spotless, and I would like to defend it in a public setting.
That's good. I'm sure I mean, well, I bet the light board will be just lit up. I bet the phone board will
Yes.
be just lit up. We'll go to the phones. And
Yes.
we'll allow the call-ins, and I'm sure Chris Clark will have a thing or two to say.
I would like to present my case before a jury of my peers outside of the league. I will recuse every one of you.
Freaking arbitration clause. Oh, well, man. I feel the need, as my commissioner, I feel the need to disclose to you that this year I am doing something that I haven't done, I think, in 5 years, and that is I am in a second league this year, and I'm really looking forward to it. In the past, I have bowed out of opportunities to be in multiple leagues mainly because I love this league so much and I dedicate so much thought and time to this that I end up doing a disservice to the other league. I become that guy that it becomes an afterthought, and I don't want to be that guy for somebody's league. And so I have just typically bowed out. This time, what has pulled me out of a multi-league retirement, if you will, is that I've got a great buddy of mine who I share an office with, and he loves people and loves fantasy football, and has brought our office together, and we've got a pretty deep stack of managers that are excited, and we are auction drafting, ladies and
There
gentlemen.
you
And
go.
so
There you go. That's
I
how you
it
spread
was the
it.
it tipped me over, baby. And so I'm jumping into that. We're actually drafting tomorrow night, so I'm excited to take
Oh.
Poker Face to that and get a real draft. I love mock drafts from a feel and testing standpoint, but they are not a real world auction style representation in the slightest. In fact, I'm convinced that most of the people who are doing auction drafts are purely trolling just for the fun of it
Right.
and paying, $150 for Todd Gurley and things like that. So from a value and practice standpoint, it is absolutely worthless, but from a feel and navigation and practicing with Poker Face, it's been helpful to me. But I think tomorrow will be the first real world test, and I'm thankful because I have 2 days between tomorrow night and Sunday to make any tweaks to my strategy or tool that I may need to.
Yeah, and even if you're doing a mock draft with a room of dedicated drafters who are drafting like it was real, it still would not prepare you for your lead's draft. Even if it was your own lead mates in there doing the draft with you, because no two drafts will play out the same in an auction. Every market is different, and you don't know what it is until you're in that room.
That's right. Well, and I'm looking forward to seeing what our market does. These keepers make it interesting. these multi-tenured manager strategies will make it very interesting. We're getting sharper. We're getting to know each other better. There is something to be said about the new person advantage just because they're not overthinking as much as we might be. I'm thinking about Chewy coming in, not as concerned about what we were doing, more concerned about what he was doing. I'm sure Charles approaching it in that way as well. There may be a, and maybe the data will show if Charles just takes off, maybe we just really overthink this and actually suck at it. And the best thing to do may be to not have a plan at all. We'll see. Time will tell.
I would
retire, but time will tell.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting to see if Chewy can repeat his success as well. Mm-hmm. Was it just beginner's luck, or was it? Is there going to be a pattern of strong play here? Is Charles going to have beginner's luck, or will he crash and burn in his first year, as others have done, mm-hmm. which is totally understandable and acceptable? Yeah. There can be a steep learning curve. It's not always there for everybody, mm-hmm. but it should exist.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I can think of, I mean, is Ben going to have Adobe Flash installed on his computer? I mean, we don't know these things.
Right.
We
just, so many
we
variables.
Don't, we don't know.
Andy will be drafting from Norway.
Yeah.
So who knows what that will be like? Do they even have internet in Norway? We don't know.
No, we don't know. And there's no way to find out because they can't tell us via the internet.
Right. How do you even get in touch with Norway? I don't know.
What are they, about 8-9 hours ahead?
That sounds right.
Somewhere in there.
I wasn't prepared for a quiz on time zones.
What have you been doing preparing for this draft? Come on.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Poker face shows world time zones.
Yeah, Bill Belichick would be disappointed in my lack of preparation and focus.
That's right. What happens if you get like an exhibition game overseas? You got to be ready, Kamish.
That's right.
Got to be ready. That's what our league demands because it's the greatest fantasy football league in the world. And this is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Good night. Top 5, top 8 running backs, their value has just absolutely skyrocketed. And it may be because there's more of a patch cast, pass catching. I did. I sure did. Yep. That may be more because there's more of a pass catching base inside the top six. I see you smiling, sir. Total train of thought is shot. It's shot.
You just said patch testing like 5 times. like it was all one word. Patch testing.
Try again, buddy. Say the exact same thing. Try again 7 times.